This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Phones are open here. We're talking about the crackdown on the world of cryptocurrency going on here in the United States, but it's not just here. I've got a story about what's going on in Europe. So they're taking the playbook from every different jurisdiction, and they're copying it elsewhere. Whatever it is that's working to get people to stop using cryptocurrency, to get people set in a state of fear.
I mean, we knew what would happen.
Yeah.
The way that China and India and other authoritarian countries handled this sort of thing is they just outright ban it. Mm-hmm. Or they ban the sale, or they own the companies directly. That's the way that totalitarian nations like China handle it. The United States, however, is fascist. It knows how to play this game. So it just has these corporations that are approved to sell the approved cryptocurrencies. And if you're not approved, then you face hardship or whatever. So they don't have to directly control it. They don't have to own the cryptocurrency exchanges.
Yeah, well, they may not be able to get away with directly banning cryptocurrency.
Right.
That's why they're putting the pressure on the other the companies.
Basically. And the result is effectively the same, but they get away with it. And Americans are like, no, we're the land of the free, because the veil that they allow to exist between themselves and the control of cryptocurrency is not them doing controlling cryptocurrency, right? It's Coinbase. It's Kraken. It's Gemini. And that veil allows Americans to say, well, the government doesn't actually control cryptocurrency. Ha ha. That's crazy conspiracy theory.
Most Americans don't even know, what Bitcoin
really
is.
I mean, the New Hampshire people that are supposedly liberty-oriented want to pass this bill right now that will give the New Hampshire government the ability to approve or disapprove people for being able to start a business. Like, oh yeah, anyone can own a business selling marijuana. It just has to be approved by the government. That's fine.
Well, it's not fine. We know it's not fine. But unfortunately, we're not in a place where most people understand that you shouldn't have to ask permission to go into business.
So nothing should be passed, especially if the libertarians don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't think that bill should pass either.
It's the lowest tax in the nation.
You're referring to the cannabis regulation bill that they're talking about this year, and it is not my favorite bill. It's better than the one they had last year, but that's still not saying a whole lot. There are other bills out there that would be better,
anything,
but unfortunately they don't have the political strength.
Anything that gets passed that's this bad is never going to ever be rolled back. We're never going to end up, oh, well, we finally got rid of that tax. It was the lowest tax in the nation. Now we don't have it. That's never going to happen. This is the concession, and it will only get stronger.
Remind me, you're talking about the legalization bill that would allow the legalization of marijuana, and it would tax it as though it were a prepared food, right?
Right. Yeah.
So at 8.5%.
It's just a squirrely way for them to be able to say it doesn't add any new tax, because for some reason it gets put in the category of meals and room tax.
No, it does. And what it does is it ends up being terrifying. It expands what qualifies as a room and meal to something that is definitively neither a room nor a meal.
Yeah.
It's a sales tax.
And it sets a terrifying precedence of, oh, well, next, bottled water is going to count as a prepared meal.
Yeah,
and
it's
cigarettes
a
are a prepared meal.
It's a shame that we have to actually cheer on the Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire, because he's likely going to veto this if it ends up passing. Because he doesn't support legalization yet, or at least in its current form.
It's better off the way we have it now, just decriminalized.
Yeah. I don't want to go too far off into decrim or legalization of cannabis. I want to focus on cryptocurrency here, because we're talking about how Paxos, which is one of these cryptocurrency exchanges that is sort of known for being a stablecoin issuer, one of the largest stablecoins on the planet right now, Binance USD. It's the number 3 stablecoin with, I believe, over 16 billion in circulation, or at least 16 billion that has been issued. And let me just double check on that here.
That's insane.
Yeah, about that. So at $15.7 billion. And in the last...
So Tether's the number 1.
Tether,
I'm assuming. What is number two then?
USDC, which is the one issued by Circle and Coinbase. That one's Tether's got about $68 billion, USDC about $41 billion, and then Binance USD at about $16 billion. So this is number three, and the number four one is quite a ways down. I don't even know what that is. Oh, DAI, which is $5 billion.
So they're going after Coinbase as well, you said?
You know they're gonna. I mean, they just went after Kraken for doing staking. Coinbase is doing staking, so Coinbase is saying they're going to fight this, which means Coinbase may end up fighting on two fronts. They may end up fighting their with the SEC over staking and fighting with the SEC over their stablecoin.
You remember when these, Armstrong, I think is his name?
Yeah, Brian Armstrong.
Yeah, remember when they were at these crypto conventions and they were bragging about working with the government, outlining all their plans about how they were going to work with
the
government, they were going to do this, they were going to do that. How's that working out for you guys?
I witnessed them bragging and planning to create a white hat group, which would be a group of companies that would essentially, you know, work with the government to essentially blackball certain Bitcoin addresses. Like, if they found that your Bitcoin had passed through the Silk Road at some point, even if it wasn't you, because Bitcoin's on a blockchain, it can go anywhere, right? Like, different people end up with different Bitcoins over time. So if somebody else had bought drugs on the Silk Road, and then somehow they, you know, bought something from someone else, and that someone else bought something from you or whatever, right? Like, you didn't know that it had gone through the Silk Road. You had no idea. But they can do the blockchain analysis on it and say, oh, this passed through the Silk Road, so therefore it's bad Bitcoin, therefore you're not allowed to use it.
It's just like any paper currency, right? Like, I can pull a one out of my purse right now that probably was used to do cocaine at some point. And imagine the bank saying, you can't use this money. This money's garbage. We're not going to accept it because someone used it for cocaine. And, like,
yeah, that's what they're doing.
I've never done cocaine in my life. That's got nothing to do with me. I just got it from someone else. I got it from a store or whatever. Or I received it as a paycheck. Or a different bank gave it to me.
To be
that's
clear,
how Bitcoin works.
I said ew because of the thought of putting a dollar in my nose, not cocaine.
Right. Well, cocaine's not fun either, in my
opinion.
I've
never done it, but
But anyway, I guess I shouldn't say that's what they're doing. I don't think that plan ever came to fruition. This was like 2014 or something when I saw this conversation happening I think it was the first Bitcoin conference that Mark and I ever attended. And it was at one of those, like, you know, shindigs that they throw where there's open bar and people are just talking loudly about what they're going to do. So I don't think that one ever came into play. But you bring it up to give an example of how Coinbase has been trying to curry favor with the feds since the very beginning, and it hasn't helped them. It hasn't protected them from the feds attacking them. They're next. They're on the SEC's list, and they are going to come. Now, first, they're going after the smaller one. They're going after Binance USD. They're going to make an example out of Binance USD.
Which is interesting, because Binance is a larger company than Coinbase.
But they don't run their own stablecoin. So Binance is basically just licensed the name to Paxos. And Paxos issues and takes care of the finances behind Binance USD, meaning Paxos has a bank account where there's $16 billion purportedly in
there. I'm sure there is.
And that's how they're issuing these Binance USD stablecoins. So that's why they're going after Paxos and not Binance, because Binance is actually a foreign company. They're not located in the United States. They have a U.S. division.
Are they England?
Binance U.S.? No, it's some like island somewhere. Oh. They've moved around to try to find the best.
Blockchain.com.
They are in England. Yeah, Paxos, or rather Binance, has moved around to find better jurisdictions that are less hostile, as I understand it.
A DAO is the only way to go at this point, a decentralized autonomous organization. If you want to have a crypto exchange, as far as I can tell, the only way to do it is with a decentralized autonomous organization.
So let's talk a little bit more about what's going on here with Paxos. Fox Business Journalist is, according to Cointelegraph, Eleanor Terrett tweeted on February 12th that the move was a unilateral effort from the SEC and other regulators to quote-unquote blitz crypto. She claimed that more Wells notices are expected to be sent over the coming weeks. And if you just tuned in, as we explained earlier, a Wells notice is giving the company 30 days. It's the SEC saying, hey, just a heads up, we're going to sue you. We're going to ruin your business. And you have 30 days to respond to it. That's what the Wells notice is. And the reported action is the latest move by the SEC in its seeming crackdown on crypto-related firms. They then talk about what happened with Kraken. They don't mention Library in their recap here.
Of course not, because they don't care Library is just one of the biggest competitors to YouTube in the world,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, liberating people. It is a valuable tool to get around the censorship being imposed on people throughout the world and the violations of freedom of speech throughout the world. Of course they don't care about that, right? Just like they don't care about Julian Assange or Edward Snowden or anything else that they should care about. Instead, it's all about Coinbase and Kraken, not the people who are out there literally fighting for freedom and justice.
Well, in other breaking news here, and this apparently came out a little bit earlier today, so the news previously that we were just sharing about Paxos being targeted by the SEC came out yesterday. So today's breaking news in this case is that now Paxos has been reportedly ordered to stop issuing new Binance USD. And this wasn't by the SEC. It was by the New York Department of Financial Services. Remember how I told you Paxos is based in New York? That means they got the Binance, or not, sorry, the Binance, the they got the Bit license in 2015. We covered the Bit license that came out from New York. It was the first state, and it's still to this day, I think, one of maybe only two states that has something like this. Essentially, it's $100,000 to apply.
Well, good Lord. What?
I heard, it might have gone up.
That's the most blatant example of, look, we want to control who is allowed to open a business and who isn't.
Yeah, Coinbase got it.
$100,000 just to apply?
Yep. Coinbase did it. Only a handful of firms have actually done it, from what I understand, or at least the last that I heard.
Well, why bother? Just don't do business in this aggressive, tyrannical state.
That's what most people did. Shapeshift pulled out. They said, all right, well, if you're in New York, sorry, we're going to block you. We're blocking all New York IP addresses. So actually, if you live in, like, Vermont and you're near to the border and there's a chance that you, like, sometimes IP addresses from companies get issued based on Albany might be servicing Western Vermont, and so therefore Vermont users probably get blocked like they're in New York. Like, well, sorry, you got to break a few eggs to block New York, apparently.
But, use a VPN.
Yeah, please. The New York regulator has apparently told Paxos they must stop issuing new Binance USD. They come shortly after the Securities and Exchange Commission issued a Wells notice to Paxos, as we just told you about.
And isn't that curious that the state of New York didn't have an issue with this dollar tether until the SEC brought it up?
Yep, they obviously got...
They're working together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paxos will continue to manage redemptions of the product, meaning that if you have Binance USD and you want to redeem that for actual dollars, well, they're still going to be required to do that, but they won't be able to do the reverse. You won't be able to deposit dollars with Paxos and receive Binance USD in return for them. The department is monitoring Paxos closely to verify the company can facilitate redemptions in an orderly fashion, subject to enhanced risk-based compliance protocols. In a statement, that means know your customer. In a statement published on the New York Department of Financial Services website, the regulator confirmed, quote, DFS has ordered Paxos to cease minting Paxos issued BUSD as a result of several unresolved issues related to Paxos' oversight of its relationship with Binance in regards to Paxos issued BUSD. So are they going to also be prohibited from issuing their own PAX dollars? Because Paxos has two stable coins they issue. One's called BUSD and one's called PAX. What's the difference?
They also have PAX gold.
That's true. They also have ounces of gold, supposedly, that back PAX gold. So are they also going to be prohibited from doing that? That's not clear in this. Or are they just picking on Binance here? What's really going on?
Yeah, it'll be curious to see how this develops. I mean, especially in regard to PAX gold, which I've always sort of been a big fan of the idea of marrying the gold standard with cryptocurrency. And, you know, you just sort of have to trust that Paxos actually has the gold that they claim to have. And presumably
it could be an audit.
Yeah, presumably you could cash in your one PAX gold to get your ounce of gold or whatever. I don't know. I never attempted to, and obviously I can't do it now. Not even sure I still have PAX gold at this point. Anyway, PAX gold does have this system where, you know, one PAX gold is equivalent to 1 ounce of gold, and that's a tether. And they issue it, and it's backed by, you know, their gold, their funds, or whatever. Is the SEC going to come at them for that?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what Paxos is, like, you know, if they put out a press release or something explaining.
Yeah.
Because if it's true that Binance USD is a security, which is the most absurd thing so far, the idea that a stablecoin that is pegged to the price of a dollar could somehow be a security, which is supposed to be something that could go up or down in value, is a security, is absolutely absurd, but the SEC will probably win this thing just because... Why wouldn't they? I mean, it's government courts. Government's going to do what the government wants.
This is why they set the precedent with Library, where effectively anything, and Magic the Gathering cards, Pokemon cards, whatever, can be considered a security, because now all they have to do is say, hey, look, it's a security, and the government will say, all right, yeah, I guess it is. Or yeah, the court system will say that, rather.
I wonder if Hasbro holds any Magic the Gathering cards.
I suspect they do. But the
security.
The security allegation, well, it's only a security, apparently, if you... I guess I can't say that anymore.
No, yeah, like after the library case, that makes it a security, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, according to the library case, effectively everything became a security. That's why the judge came out and said, look, I wasn't intending to say that everything is a security. Maybe not. But that was how it came across, and that's how it's going to be played by the prosecutors, by the SEC.
It's just because Hasbro is Hasbro, and they just don't, they're not trying to destroy them.
Yep.
Right? The security
Hasbro has also been very, very careful. Like, they're very much aware of the secondary market for Magic the Gathering cards and all of that, and they're very careful to never mention it.
The security allegations against a stablecoin could present a major challenge to the crypto industry, as stablecoins are a popular on-ramp for users taking their first steps into crypto. Cointelegraph reached out to law experts to understand how stablecoins could qualify as a security.
Wait, pause, because they're not an on-ramp. You still have to have a way of turning USD into cryptocurrency. That's where the on-ramp is.
Well, I mean, what they're saying here is some people will just, instead of buying Bitcoin, they might just buy a stablecoin.
Yeah.
And then maybe later buy Bitcoin with the stablecoin.
Which is true, but the on-ramp itself is that conversion of dollars into a cryptocurrency.
Okay, and stablecoins are crypto tokens.
Yes.
It's so, kind of a weird way to word it, Ian. It's like they already... got on.
Yeah, they're just saying that when they're getting on, they're not getting right into Bitcoin. They might just be getting into a stablecoin.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but what would be like this is the smart idea, get into the stablecoin. Why would someone do that?
It doesn't seem like it'd be very popular. I suspect there aren't that many people that do it, but, I've done it. Sometimes I needed to buy, for the purposes of running a Bitcoin vending machine, I needed to have some dollar-backed coins for an exchange somewhere. And so I just turned dollars into stable
coins. Yeah, but that's
the
thing. It wasn't, I need to get these dollar-backed coins to get Bitcoin. That would make it an on-ramp.
Well, yeah.
The only reason I bring it up is because I care about the on-ramp issue, and I think the U.S. government is doing everything it can to control the on-ramps to cryptocurrency. That's the only reason I bring it up.
It's more than just destroying it, or controlling it. They're trying to destroy it. They're trying to eliminate as many possible on-ramps, and then we're going to get into that.
Right, because they want to control the only ones that exist.
Yeah, and they don't want there to be that many of them. And so Paxos is one of the smaller ones, and it looks like they're trying to stamp them out at this point. But the lawyer that they spoke to said that while stablecoins are supposed to be stable, buyers may possibly profit from a range of arbitrage, hedging, and staking opportunities. That's the best I got here as to why it might be considered a security.
But you can't stake.
Not that I've ever seen.
I mean, you can do that thing where you loan them and you get interest on that, but that's not staking, that's loaning.
Oh, they're trying to stop that too. That's why they've gone after BlockFi, which subsequently went out of business or went bankrupt or whatever. They already are threatening earn programs on various different platforms and such, so...
This is why DeFi is such a big deal. It's basically the same thing, but decentralized, right? Decentralized finance?
Correct.
It allows these... cryptocurrency loans to exist. And for those who don't know, there's a huge demand for cryptocurrencies out there. And for whatever reason, you could loan this organization your cryptocurrency and they will sell it to people. And, then you'll get... It's the same way a bank account works, where you deposit your money into a bank account and you earn interest on the money you deposit. However, in the case of bank accounts, you earn negligible amounts of interest. I had an account Capital One. A checking account with Capital One for like 3 years that was literally unused. They froze the account and they were closing it. And it just sat there, earning interest. And this was a savings account. So it had higher percentage of interest earned than normal. And over that, like, 2.5 year period, I earned maybe, like, 4 cents of interest.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
It's a laughable, negligible amount of interest. But with these cryptocurrency programs, you can gain 10, 15, up to 20% of interest, in theory, on your cryptocurrency loans.
Well, unfortunately, not so much these days. I mean,
there
was a time when that might have been true. But what we've seen in the last year has been the failures, not so much because of the government, but just simply because of poor business practices.
I don't know. I think the government was involved in FTX. I don't care if there's any evidence.
Well, I think you're right.
Certainly, he gave a lot of money to the government. I mean, that's certainly true. And to what other extent, we don't yet know.
Man, I think he was a government stooge through and through.
Right.
That's a good theory. But prior to FTX, Celsius, which was one of the major crypto loan central finance places, they went belly up. They went bankrupt over the summer of 2022, and then FTX happened, and BlockFi was tied to FTX. BlockFi went down, and then there's some other related companies like Gemini and others that were doing similar things that they've now stopped. So in related news, within the last hour this came out, also at Cointelegraph, Paxos has now spoken out in this case, and they categorically disagree with the SEC that BUSD is a security. So they will engage with the regulator on the matter and is prepared to, quote, vigorously litigate if necessary.
So they'll testify.
So they'll actually take it to court, in theory?
That's what they're saying here, but that's the thing, is, like, essentially the SEC is playing a game that costs them nothing.
Yeah.
All they have to do is issue these Wells notices to these companies, and they will, even if Paxos is successful 5 years down the road or whenever this thing finally, because it took 5 years to get through the library case.
Good Lord, I didn't even realize that library, well, I guess it had existed that long. But
even if Paxos is ultimately successful in this case, it will cost them millions just to defend this case.
And it costs the government nothing to do this.
Now, that was enough to put Library out of business. Will it be enough to put Paxos out of business? Well, that remains to be seen. But the government, of course, has an unlimited budget. They have tons of lawyers at their hand. And they're just basically throwing stuff up against a wall. And they're seeing what the courts will accept. Like, oh, looks like the courts think library token is a security. Cool. Well, now we'll sue some more tokens. Oh, well, maybe we can get this by Binance USD, the third largest stablecoin to be considered a security. Let's try this. And they're just going to give that a try. Oh, we got staking taken down from Kraken without even having to go to court. Now we might have to fight with Coinbase over, but that's fine. We've got plenty of taxpayer dollars. So they're just trying all these different approaches, literally just throwing it all out there.
And it will work. And if it doesn't, it means nothing to the SEC, right? No one's going to be punished for fraudulently, or what is the word I'm looking for? Because it's not necessarily fraudulent, but just flippantly filing all of these Wells notices and sending them out. It costs them nothing if they're wrong. Just like, you know, in the case of prosecutors, it costs them nothing.
They won't even apologize if they get found, you know, not responsible or whatever. The number here, if you want to join the show, it's 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We'll certainly keep our eyes on this because this is a huge attack against the cryptocurrency world. And we got more on the way here. And share your thoughts as well. We'll talk about Chokepoint 2.0 coming up.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA News update. Crews are working to recover debris from the unidentified object shot down over the weekend. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin.
Our priority is debris recovery so that we can get a better sense of what these objects are.
He added that each was in a difficult remote area, but that none of them posed any military threat to anyone on the ground. A significant portion of the payload from a Chinese spy balloon that was shot down earlier this month is being recovered. That's according to a U.S. official who today noted that a crane lifted the equipment from waters off South Carolina. The payload measured as much as 30 feet long and included all of the craft's technical gear and antennas. President Biden is firing the architect of the Capitol after allegations that he misused government property. An inspector general report accused J. Brett Blanton of wasting taxpayer money by taking a government vehicle on out-of-town personal trips and letting his family drive it. John Schaefer, USA News.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Join us here. Bring up whatever is on your mind as we continue here. Ian, Bonnie, and Aria joining you tonight. We are talking about the continuing and expanding attack against the cryptocurrency industry. It is pretty awful what is going on out there. It doesn't seem to matter what sector of the cryptocurrency world your business is in, if you have any kind of nexus within the United States, it looks like they're going to come after you at this point. And they just went after stablecoin issuer Paxos, which issues Binance USD, which is the third largest stablecoin on the planet right now. It's the number seven crypto by market cap, according to CoinGecko.
Good Lord, I didn't realize that. That's even more impressive. I knew Tether was like the number four.
Tether's number three.
Okay.
And then so you got a Bitcoin, Ethereum, Tether, and then just a few more down, it's Binance USD. So they're going after one of the biggies. And we're going to keep you informed as that situation develops. But let's go to the phones here and talk to Joe in Maryland. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hi, Aria. Hi, Bonnie Parker. Hi, Ian.
Hey.
Welcome. What's on your mind?
Talk about those Philly fans.
Yeah. Philly band?
Philly fans. Oh. Philadelphia Eagles. Or the Eagles, fans, apparently.
Philadelphia Phillies, Philadelphia Flyers, Philadelphia 76ers, and Philadelphia Union.
How close are you to Philadelphia?
Yeah.
He's in Maryland, so pretty close.
The best fans in the world, which I am one of them.
They're the best fans, you said?
Best fans in the world.
Why would they be considered the best fans when they're destroying their own city? That seems like they might be some of the dumbest fans.
No. They're throwing some firecrackers around. They're climbing grease lamp posts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing.
You're saying it didn't get worse than that?
Listen. When Denver won the Super Bowl, they set the cars on fires and everything.
Mm.
When Detroit won, the Pistons won basketball, they set the town on fire. When Chicago won, they set the town on fire. Philadelphia has a bad rap because in the early 60s, they threw snowballs at a guy dressed like Santa. Now, he was a 19-year-old kid. He was drunk. He didn't have any pillows in the suit or anything like that, and he was real skinny and stuff. He didn't even portray a decent Santa, and he didn't want to go out, but Jerry Waller, who was the owner of the Eagles back then, pressured him to go out and stuff like that. So that's why you get a bad rap for the Philly fans.
It's the first time I've heard about that. And I didn't even realize you were talking about, like, this kid did this at a game of some sort, right? That wasn't clear at all. So this kid, as part of the sports celebration or halftime show or whatever was going on, put on a Santa costume and people threw snowballs at him.
Right. Did he die? Back in, like, 60. Yeah.
From snowballs?
No.
I don't know. Somebody could get a piece of ice in there, and that gets pretty dangerous. And if they're getting stoned with ice from, like, the whole stadium.
Philly fans aren't malicious like that. They don't try to hurt anybody.
Well, they assaulted this guy.
Okay, here it was. It was, like, 1963 or 1964.
They still assaulted him.
It was throwing snowballs. They didn't try to, beat them in the head and take the heck out of them. They were doing body shots, if I remember. I was a kid back then.
I mean, that's still assault.
Like I said, they burned down the other town. In Chavez Ravine, that's the home stadium of Los Angeles Dodgers, they beat a New York Giants fan to death.
Mm.
Now, I'm going to tell you how good the Philly fans are. Kenny, who has a group and calls up the sports stations, like one leaves in the Dirty 30. They found out his kidneys were failing. They told me on the morning show, go out and put the word out he needed a kidney. Within like 2-3 weeks later, a Philly fan donated him a kidney so that he would live. And the Philly fans, if you're listening to sports stations and stuff like that, you say, well, I really have this problem, that problem. Philly fans will step up and say, hey, look, I'll fix your car. I'll take you to work until you get your car fixed, things like that.
I suspect you're going to find good people in any given fandom all around the country, but I definitely understand that you've had good experiences with them. And I will say this. I am looking at some of the footage. I had not seen any of this until you mentioned the story earlier tonight, Aria. It was described as a riot. And I got to say, it seems like Joe is onto something here.
If they're keeping it to just the public property, I'm not too mad at it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there was some people that destroyed some things, but I don't see that in any of these videos.
Okay.
This video described as a, quote, riot in Philly is just some people walking around. I mean, there's no riot here. There are riot cops around. And I guess, are you saying here, Joe, that if the police hadn't shown up in, like, riot shock troop form in a phalanx level amount of cops, prepared for violence. Are you saying you think they would have just got out, climbed up onto some bus stations and, shouted a little bit and then gone home?
Yeah. Listen, in 2021, I went outside, got a wooden spoon and, zipped it around in my spaghetti pot, because they wanted to, Super Bowl.
Oh, making noise. I was just imagining stirring spaghetti.
Okay, thank you. I had no idea what the hell he was talking about. But why does this make them good fans?
A spaghetti pot. You get a wooden spoon. You bang inside.
We got you, man.
Yeah, we understand. But why does this make them good fans?
He's just saying they're not going to destroy things.
Yeah, but that doesn't make them good fans. That just means they're not destructive.
Right, and they have charity events on there where they donate to people with cancer.
I think he's just comparing
them to countless people.
Yeah, I think he's just comparing them to other fandoms or whatever that he believes are more violent or more destructive.
Exactly.
Okay.
Troy just has a bad rap and stuff like that.
How violent is Philadelphia?
So you're saying you think they really are the city of brotherly love by comparison to other fans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Thanks for the input, Joe. I appreciate it, man.
I don't think that's right at all. I think he's just got this weird blind spot. If the fandom is irrelevant to people giving to charities or helping people break
ridiculous.
Helping people with broken down cars, you're going to find good people everywhere.
I agree with that. Yeah, there's definitely going to be good people everywhere. I mean, whether they're more violent or not, that's hard to say. Like I said, I don't see it in these videos.
That's from September 20th, 2022. Robberies in which perpetrators used guns are up 60%. Rapes decreased by more than 25%, which is good. Property crimes are up more than 30%.
Well, they may not be Philly fans.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Homicides decreased by 2%.
If you want to join us, it's 603-283-6160. I don't see a riot. I got to agree with him here. I'm on a page from Sean Hannity here, and they're, quote-unquote, going into a frenzy. It's a, quote, riot in Philly, and no.
I definitely wouldn't be surprised by that. I mean, we know that we've heard that the riots do happen in like England in regard to soccer or football or whatever. So maybe the American media just wants to pretend like that problem exists here to the same degrees as well. And maybe it does with some sports, but it doesn't seem to have happened in this particular scenario.
And maybe there were some things that were broken, you know, I don't know. But that footage didn't make it onto this page with a so-called riot. Like, and if you had footage of someone breaking something, then that would be what you'd want to put at the top of the page. And I looked at every video, and there was only like four or five of them on this page. And it's like,
wouldn't put it past the news. Like, whenever the Canadian truckers were up there, they were saying, they're pooping in the streets and stuff like that, that there was no video
of.
Things
were not happening. There was no evidence. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah,
it's a good news cycle thing.
Right.
Yeah, what I saw characterized this, it didn't say they were literally burning the city down, obviously, but it created that vibe. It's like these people are rioting, they're burning the city, they're destroying the city or whatever. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, that's what a real riot would do, right? As it turns out, it was like, okay, they threw some glass bottles, I think the article said.
At the cops.
It mentioned that they lit
at
fireworks. I don't think it said at the cops. I don't remember now.
I believe it was the cops. And I think the same thing happened here during the Pumpkin Fest here in Keene, which was a huge riot, quote unquote. But what really happened
in what year?
2014. What really happened when you actually talked to the students at the college who were involved in this situation, what you learned was that everything was fine until the police came in and started breaking up parties.
Mm.
So they were having what the kids called darties, which are day parties. They were having them just like in the, somebody's backyard or whatever. There'd be 200 people partying and, you know, beers and all that, right? They were just having a big party, and it's the Halloween season and all that. And that's what was going on in the afternoon. And for some reason, the police decided they needed to come break up these darties. And so they did.
I hate that term.
Me too. I don't like it either.
Stupid.
Weird.
But anyway, that's what they did. And they kicked all these, at that point, drunk college students out from the parties they were at. Well, they had to go somewhere. So they were in the streets. So they took drunk people from where they wanted to be, which was at a party, forced them away from the party into the streets. Some of them got mad about that.
Mm. And so I wasn't here for it. All I know is somebody flipped over a police car at one point or a vehicle at some point.
They lit on fire, didn't they?
They lit a couch on fire.
Couch. Oh. Yeah, a couch in the middle of the road.
And, like, those are still really innocuous and minor when it comes to riots.
For Keene,
right?
It was pretty, you know, big.
Sure.
It was a big deal for here. But my point is that would have never escalated to that level if the police weren't there to escalate it. If the cops hadn't kicked people out of parties then they would have just partied and they'd have gone drunk, you know, gotten drunk.
It's not like they're high schoolers. Like, we got to get these underage. Yeah. I mean, they're.
Well, some of them are underage,
college.
But.
I mean.
But that's not, you know.
You don't just know it for certain.
Yeah, they were just kicking them out. I don't know if they were arresting people at that point. They were just, all right, you got to leave, got to leave.
It's probably then, like, you know, neighbors, like, this is. They're making a lot of
sure.
noise. Yeah.
Sure, of course it was.
Well, I mean, you. You can't live in that part of Keene without dealing with a lot of noise. Like, that's just
right. You
that's
bought
the
next
area.
To the college.
Right.
You know, it's what you're going to get.
I mean, the middle of the day is so much different than, like, if they're making a bunch of noise in, you know, 1 a.m.
I wasn't here then, but that's Keene. Keene has two things that always get brought up if you've lived here long enough. One was the filming of Jumanji. The second is the pumpkin riot.
What about the Chalk Wars?
Yeah, it didn't have that big of an impact.
That one's better.
Jumanji and the Pumpkin Fest riot.
That's what people remember.
Always.
Yeah.
And what I've always heard about it was that they invited, like, some party planning company or some organization that plans parties ended up coming to Keene, and they invited a bunch of people from out of state, and the parties got too big, and that was why they began breaking them up. But I don't know. I wasn't here for any of it. And it all sounds like it was just a perfect storm of bad decisions. Generally on behalf of the police, and then, of course, on behalf of the drunk college kids who you
right.
can't expect.
They're making bad decisions, too.
Yeah, you can't expect good decisions from drunk college kids who go to Keg State College.
But I think that sort of backs up Joe's point, is that the police made these situations worse. The fact that the police were out ready for a riot in the streets of Philly and acting like these people were rioting when they, point of fact, apparently were not actually rioting. Police were just like, hey, we brought tear gas. We want to use it. And so they'd, you know, throw some tear gas at a crowd or whatever. Okay, well, we got our batons. We're going to march in a line this direction because, well, there's people in the streets. Okay, let's do it, boys. And the same thing happened in Keene State, where it's like, well, we've got pepper balls, so we're just going to shoot them at these college students that we forced out into the streets because they went where we wanted them to, which was into the streets, and then they just didn't go home because they were drunk and they wanted to keep partying at that point. So the whole thing was absolutely exasperated and absolutely was made worse by the fact that the police were doing what they were doing.
And remind me, I don't remember. The Chalk Wars, that was, what
was 2014.
That exactly?
I think it was around the same time frame. It was the summer of 2014, maybe the summer of 2015.
Yeah, but what was it?
It was people chalking at Central Square. They were chalking messages, you know, peace messages.
And then some anti-free staters were going there, spending time out of their day with, like, buckets and mops. Washing
That's
it away.
Right. Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
It's
it was
so
wild.
It's so funny.
There was one guy who used to live up the street here from the studio. We used to call him Boston Strong. Because he had, the first time we ever encountered him, he had one of those Boston Strong shirts on, so he kind of got that name.
I don't know what Boston Strong is.
It's just, like, a stupid thing people say about lots of stuff. Like, say there was some kind of event that happened in Keene, and everybody was like, we need to stick together. We're Keene Strong.
Okay.
It has a history, though. It started after the Boston Marathon bombing.
Hmm.
That
that's what I'm saying.
Somebody created Boston Strong. Like, we're Boston, you know? Like, we're strong.
Like, we're not just strong. We're Boston Strong.
Kind of right. Yeah, exactly. So somebody made some shirts. This guy bought one. And so...
It's like that South Park joke. We're not just positive. We're HIV positive.
he became obsessed. So, like, the first time that they came out to delete the chalkings in Central Square, there was a group of them. But it became just him, where he would come out every single day... Every day of his life, he would go. He was a plumber. He would, you know, he leaves early because he's a plumber and he's got he worked down in Massachusetts. He actually originally was from Boston or somewhere in Massachusetts. And I believe he's since moved back there. But
so he was like waking up.
He was getting up at his normal time to go to work,
okay.
Right? And so on his way to work, he would stop by Central Square, which is, you know, 2 minutes from his house. It's right up the street here. Stop by Central Square. He'd do a quick check to make sure that there weren't any chalkings that came
in. You know,
in.
Like hearts and love.
Right,
little
smiley
kid
faces.
Drawing her.
Yeah, all kinds of.
And this actually, is so insane. Like, he's going.
He'd come back.
It's all because he hates Christopher Campbell.
I don't know if Chris Campbell had anything to do with that. I think they just
I
hate
think
free
he
staters.
Just hated free staters because he hated Christopher Campbell because he used to get in fights with Christopher Campbell.
I've never heard of anything about that.
You told me that they were screaming at each other in the streets.
Don't recall that. No, I don't think...
I do recall some incident with Christopher Cantwell having his firearm while getting into a shouting match with someone. But I don't know if that was about... I think
Chris
that
drew a gun on a couple that was in the streets. They were fighting at 4 a.m. and drunk and dangerous, and the woman was about to be attacked, Chris believed, by the man, and he drew his gun and stopped potential attack from happening.
Well, for whatever reason, I always thought that Boston Strong hated Chris Cantwell, and
he told me that. He may hate Chris Cantwell, but I have no evidence for that. He would scream at basically anyone who was a Free Stater. I mean, if he would say anything, he would be incoherent and loud. Then he would come back after work. So whatever time he was coming back from work, maybe around 5 p.m. or something like that, he would then stop at the central square and check and make sure no chalkings were done during the daytime hours. And if they were, then he had his mop or broom or whatever and bucket of water. And
be like, hey, dude, you're crazy?
He is crazy. There's a few videos. There's a series of videos
called War on Chalk. This amazing video with Garrett Ian. And he was chasing him around with the camera. He's like, hey, man, why does, like, peace signs make you so angry? And he wasn't saying anything back to Garrett. And he was just, like, furiously scrubbing. And if Garrett sat on one, he would ignore it for a while. But if Garrett, like, finally got up to protect a different chalking, he'd run to that one. It's so funny.
It's pretty hilarious stuff.
That's insane. Like, that's certified, man.
Yeah. I mean, he was, like, losing sleep, obviously, over the chalk in Central Square.
I mean, now, since you asked, I'll tell you more about this couple. It was a couple. So they're married.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear more about that because that's a noble thing. To prevent a domestic violence incident from occurring, that's a good thing.
Well, that had nothing to do with it. Chris Cantwell incident had nothing to do with this guy.
Oh, this is a different... Okay,
It had nothing to do with it.
The couple that Ian's talking about now is Boston Strong and his wife.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Strong and his wife, they live just down the street here. And so they hate it. Yeah, they hate the Free Staters, and they sure as hell hated me, right, because I'm the face of everything. So he would, like, when he would drive by the house, he'd lay on his horn the whole time around the corner.
Well, I don't remember that. I remember hearing about that.
And, of course, he's pissing off all the neighbors by doing that. It's not like the horn is specifically directed at me. That's what it was intended for, but he's upsetting everybody. And he believes he's helping. He believes there was, like, a conflict. There was a conflict. Okay, Bonnie, you maybe remember. There was a video where he and Chris Cantwell... Cantwell was here, and Cantwell went down to Boston Strong's house for whatever reason, because Boston Strong, I think, laid on his horn or flipped us off or something like that. And so Cantwell went down and, like, confronted him in his driveway, and there was a back and forth between the two of them. Boston Strong didn't hate Cantwell any more than he hated the rest of us. Mm-hmm. This guy just hated Free Staters.
It's not worth confronting someone over. I mean, maybe blowing their horn becomes disruptive, and it needs to be confronted and handled, but, like, because they flipped you off or something like that, it's not worth it to confront anyone over that.
Well, it was entertaining, I'll tell you that.
I'm sure it was.
But then the woman...
I would send him over because he's, like, scary looking.
Was she the one who threatened the 8-year-old or whatever?
She threatened a little kid. Yeah, that's right. Allegedly threatened a little boy who lived further down the street. Supposedly, she pulled a knife on a maybe 8 to 10-year-old boy at one point.
I laughed, but Jesus Christ, how unhinged are these
people?
It's
believable. It is like, but knowing how ugly this woman was, like, as a human being, like, I could believe that she would brandish a knife at some little boy. Because the kid went to school with her daughter, and, you know, they're in elementary school, and this kid supposedly, and the reason I know about this is because I went to attend the trial in this case. And
so she was tried for pulling the knife on the 8-year-old?
There was a hearing, and the case ended up being dismissed, and I'll tell you why. But we heard her side of it. We heard the allegations against her. And so the allegation was that these two kids went to school together, and that the boy was being rude to her daughter, which is also believable, right? Like, you know, some little brat making fun of a girl at school.
Kids will be kids.
So supposedly, the woman, Jennifer, a.k.a. the female Boston Strong, she confronted this boy and pulled a knife on him and told him that he wasn't to be talking to her daughter anymore.
I bet the little boy was just saying, your parents are white trash.
Maybe.
Your dad's a lunatic.
Yeah.
But the reason why the case didn't go forward was because the allegations were brought by his aunt, the little boy's aunt, who was his caretaker or guardian, I guess the term, right? Because, I don't know, for whatever reason, he wasn't with his parents, right? So his aunt had custody of him.
Okay.
And she brought these allegations, but what she didn't do was bring the boy to court.
He's an 8-year-old.
Sorry, he's the witness. And so she cannot go on the stand and say, he told me this. That's hearsay. Mm. And so case dismissed. There was no evidence in the case.
It's crazy.
So she avoided any kind of actual, you know, charges in that particular matter. No judgment against her in that case. So it's unproven allegations at this point. But it wasn't too long after that that the Boston Strongs left Keene. They actually abandoned their property, which they had owned it, but you know it was owned by the bank. So they the bank foreclosed on their property. They'd stopped paying their mortgage, basically, apparently, and the bank took the property back, and they left a trashed house. It was a perfect ending to this trashy couple. Like, they looked trashy, they acted trashy, and they were trashy.
Like, it's so weird because no one in this neighborhood is trashy that I've ever seen walking around. I've never been like, oh, it's that trashy house. I don't want to make eye contact with those people when I walk by. Like, it would just be so obvious that there's, like, these trashy people there.
And I don't want to be like, you know, this woman deserves to be in jail or she deserved to be charged for pulling a knife on an 8-year-old or whatever. I'm not a fan of the American criminal justice system, even when someone commits an act of aggression, which I do support some sort of theoretical system for dealing with people who commit acts of aggression, right? And the U.S. court system is just the one that we happen to have for that. So I mean, it's what we have. I don't necessarily support it, but if this lady's actually going around pulling knives on 8-year-olds, then there should have been some sort of punishment, consequence for doing that.
Or at least, like, I don't understand why I wasn't just rescheduled. Like, oh, you didn't know you were supposed to bring the little boy? All right, in 3 weeks, we'll restart.
And I don't necessarily think that, you know, being convicted by a jury of her peers would mean a whole lot anyway, because I'm not going to conclude whether this person is guilty or innocent based on what these other 12 random people decided. I'm going to form my own opinion about whether or not she was guilty. And of course, here I don't have any evidence in any direction. I tend to think it's probably true that she did it, but I don't know.
I think it'd be more obvious if it was true or not if an 8-year-old was testifying instead of less obvious. Because, like, an 8-year-old's not going to make up a lie that makes a lot of sense. Like, you're always like, oh, yeah, that happened, sure. Or if they're telling the truth, it's just, like, you know, as honest as possible, and you can tell. When a grown-up is telling the truth, they can seem like they're really telling the truth, and they're actually lying because they're, like, skilled at that.
There's an interesting follow-up to this story. Okay, so the last part, though, was the way I knew they were trashy was they literally trashed the house. The new owners had to clean it out. And so they got one of those huge dumpsters, like one of those dumpsters that's, like, the size of the entire driveway, like a double car width driveway, filled the entire driveway, and I went and I climbed up the dumpster and I looked inside, and you could see that there was like a pile of trash in this thing. It was literally full of stuff that they pulled out, like old lamps and old, you know, moldering desks or whatever, like just nasty
laundry. So they didn't take their stuff with them?
They left the house. They might have taken a few valuables, but the whole house was left just completely trashed.
Strange.
They had to remodel the place for months before they could finally, like, flip the house. But the 10-year-old became a teenager after a few years, and then I saw him riding his bike. I didn't recognize him, but he stopped here and had a conversation with us, and, like, he still backed his story 5 years later. More coming up.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.